Hello and welcome to episode 26 of Celiac.com Podcast Edition. In this episode, we talk about mucosal recovery, breastfeeding, HLA DQ2, mass screening, restless leg syndrome, kitchen and bathroom risks, eating greens, and snickerdoodles. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is your regular update on news and important topics from our website. Please leave a comment on our blog or write to the podcast edition directly. Our email address is podcast@celiac.com. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is sponsored by the Gluten-Free Mall. Since 1998, the Gluten-Free Mall has provided safe and convenient online shopping for people on restricted diets due to celiac disease, autism, ADHD, or other health reasons. The Gluten-Free Mall has the best prices and selection of gluten-free, wheat-free, casein-free, and other allergy-related health foods and special dietary products that you can find on the internet. Here's a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you shop at the Gluten-Free Mall between now and August 31st, 2010, use the word podcast in all small letters and get a 10% discount. Here's how you do it. When you're ready to check out from the Gluten-Free Mall, you'll see a coupon code box next to your total. To get your 10% off, make sure you write the word podcast in all small letters. This does not count for shipping or taxes, limit one per customer, and offer not valid with other specials or promotions. Now, the news. Mucosal recovery. The sad news is, even the most strict gluten-free diet cannot reverse all damage to the digestive system caused by years of gluten ingestion. A study published this month concluded that for adult celiacs on a strict gluten-free diet, although most clinical symptoms of irritation will subside, the mucus level of the digestive tract will stay affected, causing trouble for the patient with every accidental gluten exposure. Breastfeeding. The correlation between celiac disease and breastfeeding has always been a topic for debate. In Sweden, in the 1980s, an extensive study was conducted on breastfed and formula-fed infants to determine factors involved in the onset of celiac disease. It turns out that infants who were breastfed at the first introduction of gluten into their diet had a 50% less risk of contracting celiac disease, as opposed to children fed by baby formula alone. Research findings just released this month state that there is a time window in child development that grants the best possible results for introducing gluten so that they will never have to worry about infection or adverse effects. According to the study, the recommended age is between 4 and 7 months. Introduce gluten gradually over time and while the child is still nursing. HLA DQ2 gliadin. Self-diagnosed celiacs don't often want to take the doctor-recommended gluten challenge just to be granted a certified medical celiac diagnosis. And that's why scientists have announced a clinical trial to study specific protein markers that might be a feature of a celiac's blood system, whether they have ingested gluten recently or not. And they're hoping to rely on the HLA DQ2 gliadin tetramers. Mass screening could solve a lot of problems. Celiac disease is often misdiagnosed or diagnosed too late after much damage has occurred, often irreparable. Recent findings state that early widespread celiac screening, according to their statistical model, was proven to reduce physical suffering, economic stress for the individual and healthcare system, and above all, a greatly increased quality of life for patients. Restless leg syndrome. It's no secret that the proteins from gluten can break down in the digestive system and cause a form of nerve damage called nervous ataxia. A recent survey of celiac patients found a possible connection between gluten intolerance and restless leg syndrome. Their findings increased the number of neurological disorders connected with gluten intolerance and suggest that it is prudent to be screened for RLS if you are celiac. And now some popular topics from celiac.com. Kitchen and Bathroom 101. Whether you're in your first week of your gluten-free diet, or if you're a lifelong professional, there's always some room to review the basics. Here are a few places to look out for danger, in case you hadn't already considered. In the kitchen, think about getting rid of these products, if they are full of gluten, to prevent risk. Toaster, your sponges, kitchen supplies and utensils, cutting boards, and believe it or not, the soap. In the bathroom, not only is your soap a possible contaminant, but check your toothpaste, your shampoo. What kind of makeup are you using? Your lipstick and lotions. And don't forget to go through your vitamins and aspirin. Springtime is green time. This article comes to us from the spring edition of celiac.com's Journal of Gluten Sensitivity. Spring is the time to think of greening up your yard as well as your diet. A lot of the best green foods are emerging now from the garden, the farmer's market, and the grocery aisle that are loaded in antioxidants, calcium, and potassium. Researchers claim that green vegetables promote good colon health and are good for the heart. They provide folic acid for pregnant women to prevent birth defects. Greens in the kale family contain as much calcium as milk. Age-related macular degeneration, a disease of the eyes, is less of a risk for those who choose to eat leafy greens 5 to 6 times a week. In the market or in your garden, you should be seeing sugar snap peas, lima beans, and English pod peas, broccoli, cucumber, beets, and Swiss chard. Eat your peas fresh right off the vine. The shell is edible and should be sweet and juicy. English green peas? Well, there's no time like the springtime to cluster in the kitchen and shell some peas. The shell of the English pea is also edible but more densely fibrous, and so we usually cook these shelled and nestle them next to our potatoes. If you haven't tried them yet, look out for fresh lima beans or fava beans. They look like big, bulky pea pods on the outside. Steam them up and try them with salt and butter or olive oil. Snickerdoodles. This has got to be the simplest cookie ever, and the payoff in taste and popularity will far outweigh the short preparation time and materials needed. You can find all the details on our website, but here's an idea of the recipe to get you started. Cane sugar, shortening, butter or non-dairy alternative, 2 large eggs, all-purpose gluten-free flour, baking soda, cream of tartar, and salt. Cream shortening and sugar until fluffy. Add eggs and beet till combined. In a separate bowl, whisk the dry ingredients together. Add the dry ingredients then gradually to the wet ingredient bowl. Mix gently, thoroughly, then cover tightly and refrigerate until the dough is cold. This should be about 2 hours. Then shape the dough into 1-inch balls. Roll each ball in a sugar and cinnamon mixture. Place on a parchment-lined baking sheet and bake each batch for 8 to 9 minutes only. Until lightly brown and puffed, the cookies sink back down once they cool, so that's expected. And that's all for this episode of Celiac.com Podcast Edition. Remember to look at our website for the full articles on everything you heard in the podcast. And from Celiac.com, thank you for listening.